Welcome to day 148 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. This week we will begin reading from the Amplified Bible, and we are reading from the book of Psalms today. We will cover 8 of the chapters of the book of Psalms, including the shortest chapter in the entire Bible, which is Psalm 117, which consists of a grand total of 2 verses. I believe you'll enjoy this reading from Psalms today, which has much beauty and depth to it. So beginning at Psalm 111 in the Amplified Bible, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will praise and give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the council of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all those who have delight in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious, merciful, and full of loving compassion. He has given food and provision to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He will remember his covenant forever and imprint it on his mind. He has declared and shown to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations of Canaan. The works of his hands are absolute truth and justice, faithful and right, and all his decrees and precepts are sure, fixed, established, and trustworthy. They stand fast and are established forever and ever, and are done in absolute truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant to be forever. Holy is his name, inspiring awe, reverence, and godly fear. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and skill, the preceding and the first essential, the prerequisite and the alphabet. A good understanding, wisdom, and meaning have all those who do the will of the Lord. Their praise of him endures forever. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His spiritual offspring shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Prosperity and welfare are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright, gracious, compassionate, and just, who are in right standing with God. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He will not be moved forever. The uncompromisingly righteous, the upright in right standing with God, shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord. His heart is established and steady. He will not be afraid while he waits to see his desire established upon his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor and needy. His righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God endures forever. His horn shall be exalted in honor. The wicked man will see it and be grieved and angered. He will gnash his teeth and disappear in despair. The desire of the wicked shall perish and come to nothing. Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to the going down of it, and from east to west, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who has His seat on high? Who humbles Himself to regard the heavens and the earth? The Lord raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap and the dunghill, that He may seat them with princes, even with the princes of His people. He makes the barren woman to be a homemaker and a joyful mother of spiritual children. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 114, verse 1. When Israel came forth out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became God's sanctuary, the holy place of His habitation, and Israel His dominion. The Red Sea looked and fled. The Jordan River was turned back. The mountains skip like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ails you, O Red Sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? You mountains, that you skip like rams, and you little hills like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory, for Your mercy and loving kindness, and for the sake of Your truth and faithfulness. Why should the nations say, "Where is now their God?" But our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither can they make a sound with their throats. They who make idols are like them. So are all who trust in and lean on them. O Israel, trust and take refuge in the Lord. Lean on, rely on, and be confident in Him. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, the priesthood, trust in and lean on the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who reverently fear the Lord, trust in and lean on the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron, the priesthood. He will bless those who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase, more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth has He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any who go down into silence. But we will bless, affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because He has heard and now hears my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The cords and sorrows of death were around me, and the terrors of Sheol, the place of the dead, had laid hold of me. I suffered anguish and grief, trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life and deliver me. Gracious is the Lord and rigidly righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped and saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling and falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, trusted in, relied on, and clung to my God. And therefore have I spoken, even when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are deceitful and liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How can I repay him for all his bountiful dealings? I will lift up the cup of salvation and deliverance and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, yes, in the presence of all his people. Precious, important, and no light matter in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, his loving ones. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 117, verse 1. O praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his mercy and loving kindness are great toward us, and the truth and faithfulness of the Lord endure forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Let the house of Aaron, the priesthood, now say that his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Let those now who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord say that his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Out of my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free and in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side and takes my part. He is among those who help me. Therefore shall I see my desire established upon those who hate me. It is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations, the surrounding tribes, compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will cut them off. They compassed me about, yes, they surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I will cut them off. They swarmed about me like bees. They blaze up and are extinguished like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. You, my adversary, thrust sorely at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents and private dwellings of the uncompromisingly righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly and achieves great strength. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly and achieves great strength. I shall not die but live, and shall declare the works and recount the illustrious acts of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the temple gates of righteousness. I will enter through them, and I will confess and praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The uncompromisingly righteous shall enter through it. I will confess, praise, and give thanks to you, for you have heard and answered me, and you have become my salvation and deliverer. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is from the Lord and is his doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we beseech you, O Lord. Send now prosperity, O Lord. We beseech you, and give to us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord, you who come into his sanctuary under his guardianship. The Lord is God, who has shown and given us light. He has illuminated us with grace, freedom, and joy. Decorate the festival with leafy boughs and bind the sacrifices to be offered with thick cords all over the priest's court, right up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will confess, praise, and give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
In today's devotional, I want to focus on one verse found in Psalm 112. It's Psalm 112, verse 5. It reads, "It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice." I want to focus on the very first part of that verse. It is well with the man who deals generously, because I want to share with you about this biblical concept of generosity. We live in a world today where people love to accumulate things to themselves, and giving things away, giving money away, sharing what they have is not as popular as accumulating things to themselves. In fact, some years ago, a popular bumper sticker was seen on cars in the U.S., and it said, "The man with the most toys when he dies wins." The idea of that being, if you spend your whole life accumulating toys, whether it's boats and cars and houses and whatever, considered pleasures of life, that's the whole goal of living, and that if you have the most toys at the end of your life, then you win. But of course, that's a completely unbiblical concept and a lie that many people have believed and have suffered for it. But God says, "It is well with the man who deals generously." That is a profound statement. The opposite then, of course, is equally true. It is not well. It does not go well with the man who is stingy, who is selfish, who is not a giver, who doesn't love to be generous, it does not go well with that person. A modern day illustration of this negative concept of how it doesn't go well for the person who's stingy or selfish or does not love to be generous comes from the field of farming. There was a farmer who was very unhappy with the yield that his crops were having, and so he heard about a new highly recommended seed corn that he could purchase, and he decided to invest in that and give it a try. Well, he bought some and he produced a crop that was so staggering and so abundant that it astonished his neighbors. And his neighboring farmers asked if he would sell them a portion of this new seed for their planting of the next year. But this farmer, afraid that he would lose an advantage, a profit, a competitive edge that he had, refused to share that seed, even sell it to them. He refused to do it. He kept it to himself. He hoarded it. He wasn't generous. He was stingy. He was the opposite of generous. He was selfish. He was thinking only of himself and refused to share with his neighboring farmers. Well, the second year, his crops did not produce as great a harvest as the first year. And then the third year, crop was even worse. And then it suddenly dawned on this farmer that his prize corn was being pollinated by the inferior grade of corn from his neighbor's field. He had poisoned, you could say, his own stream. He had, through his selfishness, through his lack of generosity of spirit, had actually caused himself a loss. Because had he shared that seed with his neighbors, had he been excited to see them prosper as much as he did himself, then all of them would have prospered together, because the cross-pollination of the corn would have gone throughout the area and caused his production level to be higher. But instead, his selfishness quenched his production, and his harvest was diminished instead of increased. And this is a great illustration on this issue. When we fail to have a generous spirit, when we fail to be people who love to give, we hurt not only other people, we hurt ourselves as well. But generosity is something that God calls every single believer to possess. God wants us to be the most generous people on earth. We are called to be imitators of God as dear children. That is exactly what the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God as dear children. Like a little child follows his father around and imitates everything he does, that's what we're to do with the Lord. And God Himself is the most generous being in the universe. He gave everything. He gave His very best. He is always giving. God is a giving God, and He wants His children to reflect His character. So He's a God who's supremely generous and wants us to live lives that reflect that spirit of generosity. And it's a joy to have that spirit of generosity. My mother and father-in-law are some of the most generous people I have ever observed in life. In fact, my father-in-law's personal motto, life motto, is the joy of living is in the giving. He loves to give. He lives to give. What a spirit this man has. They have no greater joy than when they're giving. And it is an amazing thing to watch, just their heart of generosity towards people and toward the work of the Lord. And so this is the spirit that God wants us to possess as well. We are to be daughters and sons of the King who is the most generous King, and we are to reflect the generous spirit of our Father the King. a story is told about Alexander the Great. And it's an interesting story because it speaks to us on this issue of generosity being part of the character of the king and the king's children. The story goes that one day there was a beggar by the side of the road when Alexander the Great was passing by. And the man was extraordinarily poor. He looked very wretched. And he looked up to Alexander the Great to see if he could solicit a gift from Alexander the Great. And the emperor threw him several gold coins. One of his assistants was astonished at his generosity and said to Alexander the Great, "Sir, copper coins would have adequately met that beggar's need. Why did you give him gold?" Alexander replied in royal fashion, "Copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving." I really love that story because I feel like it's the way God is. God is a God of extraordinary generosity. He loves to give over and above. And the giving is not based on the need of someone. The giving is based on the heart of the giver. So in Alexander's case, he wasn't looking at what the beggar needed. He was looking at what his heart would, as the royal emperor, was worthy of giving. And he would give at the gold coin level, even though someone else would have given at the copper coin level. God wants us to be at the gold coin level, where we want to give generously, joyously, extravagantly, to be extravagant givers, generous givers. And there is such joy in that. I truly believe that Christians should be the most generous people on the earth. In fact, we should be the most generous tippers when we go into a restaurant. It should be said of Christians among waiters and waitresses, the Christians are the most generous tippers instead of the most stingy tippers, which I have certainly observed from some church people. But God wants us to be generous givers. And I sincerely believe that God is so pleased when he sees his children giving. There's a beautiful story told by a young father who got a revelation about how giving pleases our Heavenly Father when he had an interesting experience with his little 18-month-old daughter. He was sitting in his living room typing on his laptop computer when his little 18-month-old toddled across the room and handed the father a plastic donut from her playset in her little pretend kitchen. The father took the plastic donut and acted like he was biting into it, made great animated sounds to show how much he loved what she had given him, and thanked her and told her, "This is so good." The little girl beamed. Her eyes, little big brown eyes, widened, and she was so very happy with her father's response to her giving. Then she ran back to her little kitchen and brought him a little pink spoon. Again, the father responded, showing approval to the little girl for what she did. This cycle went on and on until the little girl had brought nearly everything in her kitchen set and given it to her father. At that moment, the young father realized that every time the child gave, it always brought her back to her daddy. And it kept the daddy engaged in looking into the eyes of that child. And it was a beautiful interaction. Her giving brought the father's blessing, and then his response inspired her to give again, and it just went on and on. And he got this revelation that perhaps this is something similar to how God feels when he sees his children giving, being generous, giving of themselves. Because the reality is, God Himself doesn't need our gifts. He doesn't need for us to give to the poor or give to the church or give Him any money. God has no need of any of it. But it is His nature to be a giver, and I believe it pleases the Father so much when He sees His children become givers. If you have ever seen your children do something generous, make a generous gift, give something that belongs to them freely to someone else, as a parent, it is such a pleasing and rewarding experience to see that character quality of generosity being developed in your child. And how much more to our Heavenly Father is it pleasing to see in us as adults becoming generous givers in every area of our lives. And the beauty of this scripture is that there's a promise attached to this. It says that it is well with the man who deals generously. His life will go well for him. There is the presence of God. And it goes on to say, he will not be moved forever. And then in the 7th verse, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is established. His heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord. He will not be afraid while he waits to see his desire established upon his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor and needy. His righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God endures forever. His horn shall be exalted in honor. So the generous person, the person who has a generous spirit, it goes well for him. It is well with the man who deals generously. He won't be moved. He won't fear bad news. And all of this is a promise of God for the person who imitates the spirit of our Heavenly Father, which is a spirit of generosity, a spirit of giving. We know that giving often runs counter to the culture that we live in that is often very focused on possessing or hoarding or obtaining material goods and storing them up. And yet God calls us to be generous givers, happy to give, loving to give, living to give. That's the call of God on our lives. And I want to challenge you today, look for a way today to be a generous giver, whether you're tipping someone in a restaurant or blessing somebody that God points out to you. Look for a way to practice the spirit of generosity. Let the grace of God flow through your life, the grace of giving, and you will find not only will it go well for you, as the scripture promises here in Psalm 112, but you will find great joy in your giving. Just as my father-in-law likes to say, the joy of living is in the giving. And I couldn't agree with him more. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.